shouldn't really
Yeah,
matter too
yeah. In
much.
fact, well,
Testing,
I mean,
testing.
you went to Portland.
I see levels.
Yeah.
So you saw
Testing, testing, testing.
Documentation, where is it? Like, no.
And then this is your camera over here.
Okay.
This is the remote.
No, it's like
starts doing something that it shouldn't.
Okay.
Never again.
I'm gonna turn off the audio and video again. I feel reassured with the bar across the top. I feel more in control.
Quiet voice.
All right, we're going to get started in just a moment here. For those of you online, we still have a few folks kind of coming into the room, so we'll give it another 30 seconds or so, and then we're going to get started. You can ask all of your questions in the form of an answer.
There should be that some like entrance music.
Actually, I had a colleague who did the 12 days of Folio Christmas. I'll have to dig that up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was funny.
Y'all ready?
Yes.
Let's go.
All right, welcome everybody to the Folio for Consortia session that is being put on by the Folio SIG. Folio, yes, the only SIG, Consortia SIG. You know, we're the main one. So what we're going to cover today, we'll start off with some introductions. We'll talk about what is the Folio Consortia SIG, some of our current priorities and how we're working on developing those. And then we're going to have a panel discussion and you'll have an opportunity to ask some questions. But first, let's start off with some introductions of who we are. So take it away, Dennis.
Can I see if this works? Oh, it does. So my name is Dennis Bridges. I'm a product owner. I've been working on the Folio project for quite some time. I mostly work in acquisitions, and I've also been working with this enhanced consortia support functionality. So you're going to hear the word, but the term ECS, that's what we're talking about as we're kind of talking through this.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jennifer Eustace. I'm a metadata librarian at UMass Amherst, which is part of the Five College Consortium, which is a single tenant consortium. I don't know what time the consortium is saying, but I hear a lot about it, and it's good news. Yay.
Hold that for a second. Hey, everybody. Systems librarian for the Mobius Consortium. We are I don't know how many members we have at this point. We've got 63 that live on one Mobius Folio tenant and ECS system, and then we have a number of other standalone systems, and we all join together using OpenArts. And I could say something else, but my mind has suddenly gone blank, so I'm going to hand it back to Lucy.
Oh, I guess I don't need this. I'm right here. So, I am Lucy Nelson. I'm the executive director of Galileo, and I am a co-convener of the Consortia SIG with Vivian. I am not an especially good SIG, so the person is probably better to somebody like Sean Boyle. There's a very good chance I will say something stupid during this presentation, and if I do, Sean's going to wave his hand and cut me off, and we'll move on to something else or let him answer instead. Okay, so first off, what is the Folio Consortia SIG? So we have a special interest group within Folio. It charges to work on use cases, review feature implementations for interinstitutional relationships that Folio should support. So consortia in all of their varieties. Yes, we have been focused on ECS over the past little while, but we are not ECS, consortia in all their different flavors using Folio are part of our charge. So you can see the list here of things that we have, could be involved in or could provide feedback on. I'm not going to read them off to you. It's pretty much anything that Folio does that consortia might use, which is all of Folio. So, and then some specific stuff like ECS and some things that are specifically for consortia have been more in our roadmap recently. So we meet every other week at noon on Tuesdays. I usually do try to put a link in the general Folio channel each time before we meet. So anybody is welcome to join us. Our membership varies between just, a handful of us to a dozen or more online. Myself and Vivian are the current co-conveners. Dennis also attends regularly as the product owner for consortial issues. We are currently reviewing priorities and discussing issues. Any of you who went to the Folio roadmap before lunch, they talked a lot about their prioritization process. We have not yet sent our five top priorities. We are a little bit lax in it, but we are working on it and we will get there. Everybody's always welcome, and we are also always open to having you all suggest issues that we might want to discuss at the Consortia SIG, and you can do that on our Consortia Requirements topic page. The easiest way to find us is to just Google Photo Consortia SIG, and the About Consortia SIG page will be the first thing that comes up. So here we are. As you can see right now, we have in red there a Help Us Prioritize Our Work link. So anybody, please go there and help us prioritize our work. If you click through to that Vote Here Consortia Related Issues link, it will, we are currently asking for feedback and voting on already identified needs, but we do also have a Google form where if you have a need that's not already been identified, you can enter it in there. And I've got the whole link there, but the easiest way to do it is just to go to About page, click on the link, and then you'll get a page that looks like this. So you can see that right now, Bulk Edit Folio Instances is the highest priority that's been voted on, but I'm hoping that all of you will go home and get your staff together and start upvoting other things as well, and this may well shift over the next, you know, a few days or weeks as you do that. At some point in the, over our next couple of meetings, we will sort of decide what our top five priorities are, and then we'll update that with the product council and move on with our process. There's also mentioned that you all can suggest issues. So off to the left here where it says Consortia Requirements Topics, if you click on that, there's a little table where you can enter in whatever topic it is that you would like us to discuss, and we will take it up at an upcoming meeting. That's it for who we are and what we do. Spend a bulk of time today on a panel discussion, which Dennis is going to moderate for us. Do you want me to leave? Why don't I get rid of this sharing? Because there's nothing more interesting about that. And that way, if something does pop up in chat, you'll be able to see it. So anybody who's online, if you have questions, please put them in the chat. We do have a few questions that Dennis is going to ask us first, and then we will open it up to see if there's any questions that you all have for the group.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm going to try to lay this down here and hopefully not disturb too much. So I will need some notes. Okay. Now for the maybe controversial. No, I don't think so. Very, very interesting discussion. I wanted to start by doing my best to kind of outline the type of system that each of you have running or will have running. At least a sort of brief description of that. So I'm going to start with Vivian, and correct me if I get any of these details wrong, but Mobius Consortium is running the one central tenant because they have enhanced consortium support enabled and 63 Folio tenants that are connected to that central tenant.
Yes, 63 what we call subtenants.
Yes, and then you have a number of standalones as well, which use standalone just to describe libraries that are running a different system other than Folio.
Not in every case. We do have the University of Missouri. They're running a Folio system.
That's right.
They are effectively a consortium because they have four campuses, but they're Folio is not an ECS system. We also have libraries that are on Sierra and Polaris, and one that just is migrating to Alma.
And you have, as far as patron-facing experiences, you have a shared, or sort of union catalog.
We have a catalog that is based on OpenRIS.
Right.
So it's a union catalog, but it's also a reciprocal bargaining platform where the members are able to borrow from each other via openness, and because of the way the direct consortium borrowing product works, they're able to essentially do their circulation work in their own systems without having to log into a third party to do that. Okay. That's openness.
Any other details you want to share then? I think that covers it.
I mean, I think that comes up in the basic structure. Yes, it does.
Okay, so we'll move to Jennifer, who's representing the five colleges system. You are five colleges.
Mm-hmm. And one.
A single tenant.
So have the Yiddish Book Center, the National Yiddish Book Center, and the Renaissance Center, which is under UMass.
And all of those groups have their own acquisitions and Like they're all using, the five colleges are all using acquisitions, right?
We do acquisitions too.
And as far as patron facing, they have you have a single patron facing experience for the for all the colleges together.
No, we have we. You've heard systems like
Perfect. Yeah. This is the
Yeah.
same friend that's
Hi, I'm Aaron Neslin. I'm the five college library systems coordinator. So I'm helping out Jeanette. Jennifer. So yeah, we do a shared acquisitions. We are using the Teams functionality, not Teams, acquisitions units functionality in order to keep things in organizations and acquisitions, other modules separate. We are using the support for multiple knowledge bases to support each individual e-holdings app and agreements. And we have a different EBSCO EBS discovery for each institution, which we're using some fancy footwork to get everyone's data into those.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Bennett?
Yeah.
I did think of the additional thing that I should have said when you asked me if there was anything additional to say, finally, is in terms of patron-facing interface, in addition to the UD catalog, each of our members is running EDS, and then all of the Folio members on Big Tenet have their own locate catalog as well for their print collections.
Right, each of the 63
each of the 63.
Subtenants, yeah. Okay, so Lucy, representing Galileo, you are running, so you'll have a central tenant and 27? I'm going to get this number wrong, I think.
So we technically, I think it's 28, because we do, we have the 26 colleges and universities that we have set up, and then also two schools. Okay, GSU is part of the, are they their own, Sean? Are they, they're on their own, so 28. 28? 29.
Yeah. That's 30. 30. Okay, so hopefully that's a reasonable background on the different kinds of systems or the different configurations that are represented here. And so my first question, and I don't know who we want to start with, but my first question I think is going to be just a little bit about what drove you to Folio. Or why you chose Folio?
Do you want to go?
I can start.
I think it was around 2015. The five colleges had a committee because, you know, librarians like that. And it was to plan a plan of, oh my gosh, Olive is going to die probably sooner than we want to. What do we do? And didn't want to go with ex libris again. You know, we wanted to really, I think, break the mold and do something novel. So short story or long story short, they decided Folio, you know, and at that time it was vaporware. So we signed on as beta partners in 2018, if you can believe it. And I, you know, I guess the rest is history. Why did we do a single tenant? It's just ECS wasn't available at the time. So that was our only option. Olive, we had reached the end of our contract with Ex Libris and Olive. Our only choice was Alma. You know, they're just, you know, they're forcing everyone into Alma. And we're like, no, thank you, especially as a consortium. Yeah.
Thank you.
This had been running Sierra since its inception in 1998, starting with InnoPack, for those of you who've been around for a while, and then moving to Millennium and eventually to Sierra. With the acquisition of Innovative by a number of different organizations, finally ending with Clarivate, they were wanting us to move our libraries to Alma, most of whom did not to make that move. And so we decided to go out for bid. And we had a relationship with EBSCO already in the form of database subscription. we had, we submitted, we put out an RFI, then we did an RFP, and a number of companies came in and bid. And in terms of why we chose Folio, some of it was a cost reason. Sierra was extremely expensive, and we were looking for cost savings measures. But we were also concerned about the longevity of both Sierra and of the Sierra product, because our libraries didn't really want to move to Alma. And at the same time, we were very concerned that Sierra end of life would come and catch us up. Though I will say that, as far as I know, has not actually been announced. So, you know, it's more speculation on informed speculation, but we chose Folio because that did seem to be the best option. Period. I don't think I have a caveat for that. That was it was the best option.
Thank you.
Yeah, so similar to what Vivian was saying, we did an RFI to determine, we knew we were interested in open source. We knew that we wanted to, we had been in an system and an EDS system for a long time, and we were a little concerned perhaps about some of the buyouts and mergers and consolidations that were going on. So we wanted to, if there was an opportunity, at least take a look at open source. So we started with an RFI, determined that actually both Folio and Koa, you know, were viable potential solutions for us. And then we did an RFP and ended up with Folio and OpenRS, although OpenRS was still new. It was not actually named in our... It was just kind of resource sharing at that point. So, hosted our own system for many years before we hosted Voyager. A small but mighty development curve with the tools that they had, and we felt like we could take on support for something that was maybe going to give us an opportunity to kind of drive the direction more than we had seen with previous vendors. But ultimately, State did RFP and Folio.
Okay, this is for the bonus. This is now a bonus question. Can you share something that is going well? Or has gone well since making that choice to come to Folio? Something specific that's been going well, or that went well, or that has gone well.
So given that we're still not live on Folio, yeah. Defer to these two. Everything is going well for you then.
Good.
I think the Five Colleges has a very long history of working together. So I think what's really interesting is we were in one system and then we kind of separated. And with that separation, we had a longstanding metadata management committee that just, it just phased out. And we resurrected it. And it's so interesting because, you know, a lot of administrators are like, oh, you know, that committee dissolved. No one's interested in metadata. And, oh, are they surprised? I mean, we are a force of nature in our, you know, consortial metadata group. And we're getting a lot done. We're, you know, working on best practices, working on how to contribute to the community. And then I just have to put a plug in for LD Light, which is now the PO is from Five Colleges and the developers from Five Colleges. Yes, LD Light is OLF product. So it is part of the library data platform for use for reporting. So I think those are some really bright spots, things that are working really well.
There's a number of Mobius people in the room. I know that. Wondering what I'm going to say. And the truth is, there's not a thing that stands out that is going really super well. I think for us, there's been a lot of culture shock. We moved from a system that had been around for like 30 years to a system that has been around for what, like 6 years? Mm-hmm. From the system that was once described as the Cadillac of iOS systems with all of the bells and whistles to an iOS that has a couple bells and a few whistles. They're all kind of small. They're getting bigger. And we also from a vendor-driven development model, say this is what we want, and the vendor either says, okay, we'll do that, or no, we're not going to do that. And that's kind of how it goes to community-driven development, where if somebody has an idea for how to make things better, they not only have to convince the rest of the consortial members, but then they have to go the next step and convince the rest of the community. And so development is done very differently. And I feel like that's also been a bit of culture shock for our members. One thing that I think that I can say has gone fairly well is that our members are beginning to learn that they are a community, and they are beginning to pull together to collaboratively come up with solutions. And sometimes those solutions are, to be really honest, sometimes those solutions are workarounds because Folio doesn't do what Sierra did. But people really are beginning to come together and understand that the Folio community really is a community. It's not me and my library and then our vendor and they take care of everything for me. They're starting to understand that they have to do for themselves just as much as a vendor might do for them, or as much as the consortial office might do for them. So I think that we're not out of the woods yet, but I think that the Mobius community is doing really, really to understand what it is that we've gotten ourselves into and to pull together so that everyone's moving in the same direction.
Thank you. I think that actually, I don't know if you want to take a swing, but that's a good segue into my next question. So this is my next question is thinking, so considering the Folio community, so not necessarily the internal community that is your system, but is there a specific way that you've leaned on the Folio community, in either implementing or now that you are all some of you are running? Let me leave it at that. That might be part one, but is there a specific way or thing that you've kind of leaned on the community, the Folio community for?
Well, obviously, as co-convener of the consortium sitting, leaning on that group to help us, perhaps get some things prioritized that are, I'm trying to make that balance between this is, consortia saying, this is the Folio consortia saying, and we may have different needs than the community as a whole, but nonetheless, we are, one of the, there's two consortia that are currently on ECS, and one that's on and one that's but not one of. So, we have obviously a lot of, hopefully a lot of input into that. We've also had sessions, we've relied on Mobius, we've reached out to them for questions. We've had sessions with the Library of Congress, looking at their toolkit and how can we perhaps use some of the tools that they have developed, or not even the tools, but the workflows that they have developed. So we have, I think, reached out to our colleagues to understand how are you solving this particular problem in Folio, in OpenOffice, and taken their feedback and looked at that as ways to either reassure our staff. You know what, this isn't a great fix. Let's band together and maybe try and get some momentum behind a better long-term solution.
I'd have to say that the Folio community is absolutely central to how we work in the five colleges as well as UMass, so much so that it's part of my job description. So I say, this is, I need to spend time working at this community level in order to, not just do my job and make sure that Folio is sustainable as well as grows as an LSP that's viable in the marketplace. So, and I think, we do spend a lot of time in the five colleges trying to get people involved because it is a different mindset going from a vendor, kind of platform to open source platform. And, if we have someone who says, oh, I just don't like it just doesn't work, we're like, okay, that doesn't help us. What doesn't work? What exactly is going on. And if you explain that to us, then we can help you by going to the community and advocating for what we need in terms of functionality. So I think, you know, we're a relatively small consortium, but sometimes, you know, there's like five of us in a SIG meeting. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then we're all talking. We're a very vocal bunch. And it's like, oh no, it's the Pioneer Valley people again, you know? But it's been helpful. I so much from this community. I've changed my workflows because of what I hear like Chicago is doing, what I hear like the Germans are doing. And I think the level of support is incredible. Like I can post on Folio Slack and say, you know, I don't understand this. And like, you know, four people, sometimes a dozen people will say, oh, I'm here to help you, you know, and I think that's really special. So not, and it's very much unlike, you know, I was using Auburn before I went to UMass, and, you know, it's nothing like Aluna or voting on issues. It's like, I can actually see some issues that, you know, they're important to me, but if I explain it to the community, they're important to the community, and they actually get developed, and then we can talk about it and talk about workflows and support each other. So I think that's what makes us a community. It's because we're involved, the developers are involved, you know, other vendors are involved, but we're all doing our part to make sure this is a sustainable kind of product that is ours. It's not just like belongs to a vendor, it's all of ours.
Yeah.
How can you tell someone's been live for a while? We went live a year ago in May, and I think the first year all of us, both at libraries, those of us in the consortium office, spent trying to figure out the software and, you know, how to deal again, you know, figuring out what it is that we've gotten ourselves into. In the last 2 or 3 months, I've begun to see more community involvement from our members. And again, this goes back to what I said about culture shock. Our members were very much used to the consortium office doing their advocacy for them. And I think that the libraries are coming to realize that they can't just rely on the consortium office, that they have to do self-advocacy, that they have to make forays into the Folio community and do collaborative work, not just through MCO, but with their peers in the Folio realm. Are we there yet? No. We are getting there. I'm beginning to see people other than my direct coworkers in SIG meetings, and I belong to a lot of SIGs, and I attend a lot of SIG meetings. And for worse, I'll say, I think some of the SIGs are like, oh God, Vivian's here. But I personally have come to rely on the community a lot, particularly for explanations of how things work that aren't necessarily in the documentation, for solutions to problems that I've run into. I've definitely relied a lot on the person to my left for various things. So yeah, I mean, really, it's the community, and as I keep saying, it's been culture shock for our members. It's been culture shock for me, but it's definitely a thing that I'm starting to see more and more of.
Yeah, I can say as an observation that I have had interacting with you all, and I think actually even more so, or recently in the consortia SIG and other SIGs, the power of the community sometimes articulating the problem, like when you have an issue and you could probably communicate that to a vendor, but bringing it to a SIG group when there are multiple folks in the room that have the same problem and you think it through together, it becomes a more complete use case. It becomes an easier problem to solve, which I think is kind of a powerful side effect of that community dialogue. So that was a sort of macro Folio community in general. Now I have a question about your kind of internal communities. I don't know if that's a bad way to refer to it, but you and your member libraries. I'm interested in just discussing a little bit some of the alignment or governance practices that worked well, getting everyone organized to collaborate together with Folio. And I know you have very different systems, and coming into that, the implementation was probably a very different thing for all of your organizations. But yeah, I'm wondering how you engaged, if there was something specific, some way that you were engaging with membership that worked well in terms of getting you ready to configure your systems.
Mike, so I guess I'll go first. We had a number of working groups for these topics. We had a cataloging working group, we had an acquisitions working group, circulation working group, various working groups. The members, or at least the people on those working groups, would assist the consortium office in the implementation. Sometimes as specific as like settings and inventory. I will say that when we first started our implementation, ECS did not exist, and in fact did not exist until about halfway through our implementation. So our expectation originally was that our 62 tenants would actually be sharing a single tenant. And to that end, the cataloging working group spent a lot of time coming up with a shared set of material types, a shared set of various inventory settings. Material types, I think, is the one we spent the most time on. And then, surprise, surprise, here comes ECS, and it's like, oh, we can have their own settings, except not, because if everyone has different inventory settings, it breaks open RS. So the working groups really is how we got the membership to prepare for a collaborative environment. Since implementation, those working groups have gone away, but we have a number of committees now. We have a circulation and courier committee. We have a cataloging committee. We have various other committees. We have an enhancements committee for enhancement requests. I think that answers the question. Once again, my mind has suddenly become blank. So I think I will pass it on to Jennifer.
Actually, Aaron.
Oh, Aaron. Okay. Darren.
This is the second phone I have. Someone put this down.
So, yes, we also had lots of committees. And because everyone had to be 100% in alignment because we were in a single tenant. So we had to have a single set of material types. We had to have an agreement on circulation rules for everybody. We were coming from a system where people had their own circulation rules. You could have your own user permissions. Almost everything was uniquely configured. So we had to agree on what we were going to do, but how we were going to map all this separate data into Folio. And the way we did that was lots of committees and very strong leaders who looked at people and said, you've got to make a decision on this. And they didn't exactly lock them until they made a decision, but making it clear that this was, participation, if you want your use cases to be accommodated, you have to participate. And this is the deadline, and we need a decision by this date. So yeah, cajoling and bribing and trying to get everyone to agree on could all live with.
We didn't want to lock anyone in the room because I'd be locked in the room with them, and I feared for my life.
I think also we adopted what we called kind of open houses, where we said, we need your input on X. And if we don't have your input, these are the consequences. If you're fine with the consequences, then okay. Mm-hmm. But I think getting the consensus on that was really important.
So ditto to a lot of what this you just said. We also had, functional committees, functional teams that had been in place prior to us. And in fact, we've involved them in writing our RFP requirements, right? So they were involved, you know, from the very beginning, and you know, had been in many cases the same team structure, which was not the ideal. So the thing that we had fairly recently is, I believe, calling collaborative workflows. Is that what we're calling them, Sean? The new committees, the collaborative workflows? Cross-functional collaboration, thank you. So we identified some areas that are sort of like, you know, they're not, you know, kind of cross groups, that just require so much understanding the functionality. You need to understand the functionality, but like, this is how we want to set this up, right? And in some cases, because they need to be the same, in some cases, because we have some very small libraries who kind of need some, you know, direction on this is the best way to do this. So those groups got kicked off just a couple months ago and are now ramping up, and they'll be providing sort of that day one guidance on in several areas on how libraries should be setting up their Folio and OpenRS environments and EDS.
Thank you for that. I think I want to have a bonus question here as well. And that would be, maybe there's something that you would have done differently. And I know that, you know, this could be a difficult question to answer, but obviously a lot of collaboration that has to happen between these groups internally. And maybe something about the timeline, like would you have engaged people at a different time, or created these groups at a different time, or in a slightly different way? Is there anything that you might have changed?
So yeah, it might have been beneficial for us to set up these, you know, cross collaboration teams a little earlier, perhaps. The other thing I would say is we did not make a big deal about the you know, the open source aspects of Folio from right at the beginning. So while we didn't, you know, from joining SIG, we also didn't especially promote that, you know, or encourage them to. And perhaps in retrospect, it would have been, because it, you know, open source is really different from a vendor product. And I think in retrospect, it might have been better to sort of embrace the, you know, that aspect and a little bit of the messiness of open source and the community-driven nature of open source, and expose our members to that year in the process. Again, we didn't prevent them from doing it, but we also didn't encourage it. And perhaps in retrospect, we should have.
Yeah, I think that was true for us as well. And I would have liked to have seen more administrators involved in the Folio community. So I think it was like mostly people who were not administrators who were involved. And I think administrators were busy, but I think that would have helped them understand what open source is, because it's not free kittens. I mean, you know, with free kittens, but you know, you have to remember the kitten. They turn into cats, and cats are librarians. You know, so there were cubicles, and so many needs, you know. I mean, anyway, I think, you know, we saw that. We, you know, resources, and I think getting people kind of that change of my mindset earlier rather than later. Yeah.
So remember what I said before about these people here, when I'm sorry. To answer this question, I mean, there's what would we have done differently, and what could we reasonably have done differently? We went live while implementing three brand spanking new products that were created primarily initially for Mobius, though they will be used for other people. Locate, OpenRS, and ECS are the brand spanking new products that were created during our implementation. Are they perfect? No. Some of them are far from perfect, and that's all I'll say about that. I think what we could have reasonably done is managed expectations better. I think a lot of our members and some of the folks in our office had an expectation that we'd go into daylight, go live, and everything would be exactly like it was when we were on Sierra and on other products. And I think if we had managed the expectations better, people would understand better that these are not products with 25 years of development under their belts. They are products that are like literally the first site to be using these ever. So yes, I think that's what we could have reasonably done, you know. If I sound a little defensive, I'm sorry. I'm feeling a little defensive.
To build on some of the things Jennifer said and my own experiences, at the time we were in implementation a long time. We started in 2018 and went live in 2022. During that process, Folio was rapidly evolving. EBSCO was still learning how to bring clients live. We were still figuring out what it meant to go on a source system as a single tenant. So towards the end, EBSCO had figured some things out. They had created migration maps so that we didn't need to like have a negotiation about what data went where. I had learned to rapidly iterate things through so that our working groups could see what the data looked like before we loaded it, because we did many, many data loads. So I would have done all those things much earlier in the process to give people something to work with and see, so that we could have made all these decisions earlier.
So I'm looking at the time, and I think we want to take some questions from the group if there are questions. So I'll just say, start thinking of a question, and in a minute, you're going to have an opportunity to ask it.
9 minutes left.
So to ask, and I hope folks would find this interesting, also maybe a difficult one, like a wish list question. You know, is there a specific piece of functionality that you'd like to see, a specific workflow that you would like Folio to support in the future? The intention of this question is to build my backlog. No, I'm just kidding. Just to understand a way that you might want to see Folio evolve, whether that's a specific piece of functionality or workflow, or the community, your engagement with the community, anything like that.
So, I mean, I'll say that we haven't been quite as bad as this, but so had change really rapidly. And I think very early version of Sunflower, I think has the word, you know, Galileo fixes in it somewhere. So we have to stay on Sunflower for a while. So I think that, you know, certainly this is an exciting time to be watching Folio evolve. I hope that we can kind of, you know, get a balance between new features, new functionality, some stability, and maturity. Yeah, I would give a different answer depending on who you asked. A Galileo system, because they probably say, in-app reporting and analytics and ability to do things across the system, run reports across the system. If you ask the catalogers, they'd say, you know, permissions that, you know, prevent baby catalogers from blowing up, you know, network records. If you asked fulfillment, they'd say, you know, we want to have a closer integration with Folio and let them see the patron's name when they come to pick up their books. So if it's through remote open. So it depends, you know, depending on who you ask.
That's a really interesting question, because I was talking about that with Christy Thomas and Todd Olson earlier. Microservices was kind of the dream. You know, it's like each part could be updated and launched, you know, quickly without disturbing the rest of the services. You know, there's the marketplace, which, you know, I think that's still viable. But I'm wondering if we focus so much on the micro that we've forgotten kind of the macro. And there's so many parts of Folio that You know, we do something in one app and we forget it kind of ties into so many other apps and functionalities now that it's like, oh, we've got to backtrack, you know, the donors field was kind of like that. Oops, you know, so it broke processes with others. And I'm sure there's more like that. Recently they did something and what was it, receiving, and it broke barcodes, you know. And I think we need to do a better job of seeing this macro now. Mm-hmm. And not to say that microservices is not the way to go. That's not it at all. But I think we have to have our eye on both and mm-hmm. kind of find that Goldilocks where we're really bringing together this Folio as a whole. So what does Folio mean? What does Folio Core mean? When someone says, I'm bringing up Folio, what does that mean exactly? And I think right now we sort of don't know, you know?
Yeah.
We sort of do, we sort of don't. It's like, oh, you have data, so this is your Folio. Maybe that's your Folio. And I think we need to get out of that and say, you know, we are Folio, but what does that mean, really?
I know we're short on time, so I'm going to be characteristically brief. If I could ask for one thing, it would be improved data search and retrievability across Folio as a whole. There's all sorts of things that goes along with that, but I said I'd be brief.
Just something simple. That's perfect. Okay, we'll open up to questions. If anyone start right here.
Let's get that.
Yeah. I can also. Okay.
For people looking to join in the Folio community, what would be the best platform to use or platforms? And do you recommend it's the best way to start? So join in the Folio community in the sense of like joining the SIGs and that, yes. So, I mean, that's, I just, they're using what, but last, yeah, talk to this.
Sure. So the Folio Wiki is an Atlassian product that we use. So you just need an Atlassian account, which I think you can get through Peter Murray, if he's in the room, or anyone else who's an administrator of that system. So that would give you access, although it's public anyway, but allow you to comment and things in the wiki, where the documentation is. The other thing would be Slack. So joining the Slack channel, we'd love to have you in the Consortia SIG Slack channel, but you could shop around. That's fine too. That's fine. Yeah.
Check wiki. It's a list of all the SIGs. When you say SIG, that stands for Special Interest Group, if you didn't already know that. There's a list of all the SIGs. Click on any one of them that aligns with your personal interests. You'll be taken to the main page for that SIG. It will list when the meetings are, which are generally via Zoom. If your institution allows you to use Slack, download Slack and join the Folio project, and then most of the SIGs have a Slack communication channel. If your institution doesn't allow Slack, because some don't, just bookmark the SIG page so that you know when the meetings are and you can attend those via Zoom. And then, yeah, well, get an Atlassian account and all that other good stuff. But that's the basic start.
Yep. Thank you for that. Another question back here. Oh, take a look in the chat. Thank you. We'll do maybe in the room first.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Grace Bisho from the Library of Congress. And my question was, for the folks who are live, since Go Live, how do you organize feedback from your member libraries about the enhancements that they would like to see? And how do you prioritize that, communicate it with the community? What's kind of the method?
Sure, yeah. Or just from where you are. I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I want the people on Zoom to hear me too. You know, otherwise they're just going to hear.
So one of the committees we have is an enhancements committee. We have been soliciting enhancement requests from our members very, via various what had been listservs or now Google groups. We have a number of discussion lists. We have a general users one. We have one for all of our site coordinators. We have one for our catalogers and various others. We have a ticketing system, request tracker, that we use, and people have heretofore been submitting enhancement requests via request tracker tickets. That is now being moved to a Trello board with a form in front of it. People will submit enhancement requests via the Trello to the Trello board, and then our enhancements committee divides those requests up by topic area. We have about 8 subcommittees that will then look at the enhancement requests and rank them. And that's as far as we've gotten, to be really honest. So, but then the next steps are that the committee as a whole will take those subcommittee rankings and determine how many enhancement requests we want to release into the wild, which then means we'll have to put them out in the Folio community and then convince everybody else in the Folio community that those enhancements are a good idea. And then, you know, convince product owners that these enhancements are a good idea. And we'll see how it goes from there. But that's how we've managed. That's as far as we've gotten, honestly.
I'm just going to pop in. This is Heidi Vicks. I want to say that Mobius actually does a very good job about this, and they let us know how many tickets are in each section. Like, there's a might be a backlog on OpenRS stuff. There might be a backlog on locate stuff, and they'll let us know how many tickets are in each section, just so we can kind of understand what the other member libraries are going through as well.
Thank you, Betty.
And then the question online: what software expertise or other skill that you don't have now do you wish you had at your disposal when implementing Folio for Consortia? Sean Purcell, you want to answer this one? Sean's our developer. Anything specifically that you feel like you should have known?
During implementation?
Yeah. This might not answer the question, but I can think of something that I wish how to actually edit or work on the just a few tools against the API to fix things that will create things that aren't present in the core code. I wish eventually, but I wish that we could work towards working on the community code directly.
That's a great answer. Okay. One last thing.
It would be nice if I had to do API calls a year and a half ago. I still don't know how to do them. I'm learning.
That's fair. I think this is all the time we had. So I'll just say, I think we all love to talk. So if you do have more questions, come talk to us if you dare. We'd love to help in any way that we can. And thank you for attending, and I hope everybody has a great conference from here out. So
I'll tell you all what I tell my Mobius folks, and y'all know what's coming. Everything is going to be okay.
Eventually.